Hey, this is Colorworks Radio, and I'm your host, Justin Baker. This week, we have Sean Fuller, our downstate correspondent, highlighting three must-see shows in New York City. As always, Sean is out hitting the pavement looking for the most stimulating work he could find to get us on a bus to make the trip. So listen up. Well, Sean Fuller, our downstate correspondent, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing, Justin?
I am doing pretty well. And I'm going to note you're a world traveler now, so that's impressive. Or you probably were before. I just didn't know it. But back from Berlin. And yeah, what do you got for us?
Just back, filled with sausages. And was lucky enough to get a preview of MoMA's new $450 million, 47,000 square foot expansion last week. And before I continue to talk about the MoMA expansion, I should say that I did work at MoMA for over a decade, and my wife currently works there. So my bias might be apparent.
So yeah, this is scandalous, I think. Or it could be. I don't know what you're going to say, but yeah. So
but
what's
I have
it
to
look
say
like?
That link did allow me to get this early preview, mm-hmm. you know, so there was some quid pro quo that may have to be accounted for later. So I got to see the new expansion. You can admit that last joke.
Yeah. Too
so
soon.
Bad.
Yeah.
Too quid pro quo. I was just thinking of Trump. Sorry. So as I was saying, the expansion allows for 47,000 square feet of new gallery space. They changed the footprint of the store space, dropping it to a lower level and kind of expanding its footprint. And then there's also a few interesting new kind of performance / gallery spaces scattered throughout the new space as well. The architects, Dillard Scafito and Renfro, worked really hard to make the space visitor friendly, and it really shows. There's many points of access to the space. There's many many ways to ascend within the building. It used to be kind of there was two elevator bays and one escalator bay that you would have to navigate. Now there's multiple stairways, mm-hmm. multiple escalators, multiple elevators, a larger lobby. So when on a rainy day, there won't be an hour-long wait outside in the rain. People can actually fit into
nice.
The
yeah.
lobby space. So lots of things were done to make it more user-friendly, more visitor-friendly. And I think that was the key thing that the architects did. Also, the curatorial staff did an amazing thing with the collection. So with the additional gallery space, all of that went to the collection. And curators use that additional space to really focus on including more women and people of color and artists from countries that had somewhat been overlooked historically.
Okay. So you probably sort of said it, but when does this new wing open? October, what was it?
Yeah, so it's more than a wing. It's
right.
An entire, they're occupying three floors of the new building, which all opens on October 21st is the first day. You can buy tickets now, or if I'm going to do my salesman pitch, join as a member. And yeah, the fun starts October 21st, and definitely worth checking out, worth the visit to the city for.
So when when it opens, they're going to have, as you said, like a more expansive view of their collection on view in the new wing.
Yes. Mm. And there's some focus shows like, Pope L has a focus show, and Betty Sayer.
Okay.
So there's some exhibitions as monographic exhibitions.
Okay. Wow, that's amazing. What else is going on?
Yeah. So weather hasn't been so great. So I've been hunkered down in my apartment for most of the time. But I made use of the one sunny day this week to travel down to Soho to enjoy the opening of the new TJ Maxx in Soho.
It's everywhere.
Long been regarded, long regarded as the fashion capital of the U.S., and now they can be proud to have a TJ Maxx in the middle of Soho.
Yeah.
It was quite busy, but I'm disappointed to announce that I went inside and it was very much just a normal TJ Maxx. No Prada discounts.
No
there,
Prada, yeah.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
But while I was down in Soho, I made better use of my time and went and saw the Hannah Wilke show titled Force of Nature at Ronald Feldman Gallery, which is on view there until November 30th, so you have plenty of time. If you're not familiar, Hannah Wilke is an artist who embraced and really like criticized the feminist movement in an interesting way. She mainly confronted the paternalistic art world. Also, like she was kind of this complicated figure, and she would use unconventional materials like bubble gum, and she would also use her own body in a lot of ways. So she'd deploy her own like form to create a narrative around sexual freedom and self-representation, trying to challenge like prevailing female stereotypes and objectification of the female form.
Right.
So it's a lot of her nude body, but it's all used as a device to talk about these other issues. Sadly, Wilke passed away in 1993 from lymphoma at age 52. And before she died, she created a powerful series of works from when she was diagnosed in 1991 to when she passed away in 1993, titled Intravenous, that deal with her illness and her impending death in a real direct and unflinching way. So the show closes with that, and it's really a powerful set of works that the show concludes with.
No, those are like a lot of portraits of her, and then some sculptural things, right?
She did some self-portrait drawings. She would have her friends photograph her in various states of illness, and then she made sculptures out of all the prescription pill bottles that she would have. It's very hard to deal with and look at if you have any family members or friends who've passed away from cancer. It's like very much like feels real and immediate.
Yeah, that's tough. Definitely worth checking out though. I think there was one more show we were talking about before.
Just down the street from that show, there's the Franz Walter show, Franz Erhard Walter, who's a German artist. He's now 80 years old. There's a survey of his work that kind of does an overview from 1956 to 2006. And if you're not familiar with Franz Walter, he kind of created these works that look like they're post-minimalist sculptures, and what they are they're these they're meant to be a kind of act of participatory art. So he creates objects that kind of try to challenge the viewer to act in a way, to confront their own like isolation and self-absorption, like while they're viewing art. You know, like typically art asks the viewer to stand back and look and like silently take in what they see. And he's asking you to manipulate the objects that he puts forward in your mind. And often he asks you to actually do that in situ, like so to actually take objects and move them in the space. So,
cool.
He'll give you, like fabric works that look sculptural and like they have a form, but if as you change them or reorient them, they change their shape.
When was he making those? Do you know? Because they look so contemporary.
So I think he came up with this idea in the 60s, and he was part of a blockbuster exhibition at MoMA in 1969 called Spaces. And so this show actually marks that 50-year point from that show.
Yeah.
Other artists in that show were people like Dan Flavin and Robert Morris, and it was all about how work interacts with architecture.
I did research on that show. That's funny. I don't remember him though. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like Larry Bell, Robert Morris, Dan Flavin, Michael Asher, then friends Erhard Walter. We shouldn't say this part, but he's kind of like the forgotten man of that show, I think.
Thanks, Sean. And to you, as always, thanks for listening. And visit Collarworks Gallery at 621 River Street, Troy, New York.